Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, all of you, I'm sure, are conversant with opening up a new document on Word. Let's assume this is a new document. All you've got is the little cursor there waiting for you to type in what you will. This is today. We'll take it to mean today. Every day of your life, you begin a new document. Now, when you open up a new document, it doesn't matter what other documents you have on file. They've got nothing to do with this new document. So yesterday, you might have opened up a document and put in what you will, but you open up a new document today, and there's no mention of anything from yesterday's document. This is entirely new. And I was praying the other day, the Lord gave me this illustration, something that I'm writing in the charter. And he said, you as a believer have the responsibility to fill that page, that new document, with whatever you choose to do. That's your responsibility. Now, you can fill it with what is good. You can fill it with what is bad. You can fill it with what is of the spirit. You can fill it with what is of the flesh. So let's take this as yesterday's document. Let's say the lines were the good things, and these crosses represent the things you shouldn't have said, and thinking about it, you shouldn't have done, or the thoughts that you shouldn't have fostered. You come to the end of the day, and praise God, he invented sleep, so that between yesterday and today, there is a definite gap. And you start again the next day. Of course, it's important that you do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Interestingly, of course, the day in Scripture started at 6 o'clock in the evening and finished at 6 o'clock the following evening, which is why the Sabbath goes from 6 o'clock on Friday to 6 o'clock on Saturday. So, in that sense, the new day started at 6 in the evening. You don't let the sun go down on your wrath, so you get rid of your wrath before 6 o'clock. Anyway, we'll put ourselves back in the UK now, not in Israel. So it's important, isn't it, that at the end of the day, all these things get erased, because we have a much better sleep. Of course, they should be erased as you go through the day. that as soon as you realize there's something you shouldn't have said or you shouldn't have done, you make your peace with God, or if it involves others, you make your peace with them immediately. So that by the end of the day, you don't need 2 hours of repentance. Being a Rofi student, of course, you wouldn't need 2.5 hours, 2 hours of repentance, only 1.5 hours. But so that was yesterday. But today, well, I don't know. I mean, we're down here somewhere now. I trust you've already filled in your prayer time. And the fresh revelation that you got from God as you were listening to him. And now you've just come to the 8 o'clock. And whatever God does in you in the next hour or so will fill in that line. But the rest of the day lies ahead of you, and you write the text. Now, over this is something that goes on day by day. That's tomorrow. Something that goes on day by day is the will of God, that which he has spoken over our lives, that which he has declared. And contained within each of these days are the good things that he has prepared for us. Now, you may not know what those things are. Some days, you know there are going to be various things happening. You have, let's put these symbols here, certain appointments. But actually, how you handle those appointments, what you do in those appointments, whether they be lectures or whether they be of some other order, will depend upon how you act and react and respond when it comes to that event. Some of these good things that he has prepared for you may well already be there waiting for you, but as they unfold, as the revelation of what it is that God has prepared for you opens up to you, then again, how you respond is going to depend upon what is written on your document. Are we all here? So, this is a good visual demonstration. It helps us to understand how we are to relate, live in unity with God, how he knows, of course, everything that goes on every day. He is aware of it. He is living in you by the power of his Spirit to enable you to fill this day with his will. And of course, what he doesn't want is any of these things that need to be forgiven. Our expectation needs to be that we will go through the day sinless. Well, you see, either your expectation is you're going to sin, or your expectation is you're not going to sin. Which is it going to be? See, if your expectation is that you will sin, then God will reward your faith, and you will sin. But if your expectation is, I have got no intention of sinning today, doesn't mean you will be sinless by the end of the day, because there's things that may crop up and you may sin inadvertently. But it's not your intention, it's not your purpose, it's not your plan, it's not your expectation. Amen? But you see, your expectation isn't neutral. Well, I neither expect to sin or not to sin. There's no neutral position. You either expect one or the other. Hello. So God wants us to be in that place where our expectation is that we will live our lives pleasing to Him. But the great thing is that, you know, some days you come to the end and say, that was a good day. And other days you wouldn't want to live through again. And there's lots of things in between the two. Well, you will never have to live through the same day again. Every day is new. So tomorrow you will start here. And that thing will be flashing at you, waiting for you to put something in. Of course, God's purpose is that we fill the day with what He wants. Now, of course, there is the enemy, but he isn't part of your page. Right? He can attack from outside. There's only one jolly color here. That's because Pastor Jonathan's colorblind, so he doesn't see the need for more than one color. But if we could have another horrible color for the enemy, he wants to. Oh dear. He wants to attack from the outside. But of course, we have the shield of faith with which we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Darts are arrows. So all these things that he fires at you, they do not have to land. They do not have to become part of your history. Because you see, this yesterday is part of your history. Tomorrow, today, will be part of your history. What we want is a good history. You know, people say history is his story. Well, your history is his story in your life. Amen? So, we are able to repel the fiery darts of the evil one so that we don't have to see a whole lot of X's appearing. Now, that's because this page is surrounded by the darkness of the world. So this is a page of light. Amen? And God's purpose is not that the darkness should invade your light, but your light should invade the darkness. Isn't that right? So your light will shine before men that they may see your good works. So these things are not just thoughts and intentions, they're works. These lines, these are the things you do. And God wants those things to be full of light, so the light radiates out of today's page or document. But praise God, when you come to the end of the day, there is sleep and the closing of that document. You shut the computer down for a few hours, fire it up in the morning, and you have a brand new document. Now, that's all pretty simple, straightforward. The mistake that many believers make is some of the experiences here could seem problematic. perish the thought that you should ever worry, because Jesus says don't worry about anything. But it has been known for Christians occasionally to worry and to get anxious about things. And the problem there is then that people carry those things over from yesterday into today, which means they start not with a new clean page, but with a negative page, or with negatives on their page, because they've carried things over from yesterday. So we don't need to do that. Yesterday was yesterday, it's finished. Today we start anew in our relationship with the Lord. And Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. So the only thing that carries over from day to day is the will of God. Again, I'd like that to be in another color, but never mind. If the will of God goes on continuously, day by day by day, his will for us never changes. Amen? His plan and purpose for your life never changes. But here you are with today before you. And by the end of the day, what we want is to know that we have fulfilled what God wants for us today. You don't have to worry about what he wants tomorrow. You will start a fresh document tomorrow, and then you will be concerned with what he wants to do in you tomorrow. Each day, Jesus says, has enough cares of its own. So you're going to have enough to put up with today. Amen. Enough to concern you today, enough to occupy you today, so that God's will for today can be outworked in your life. It's a very simple illustration, but actually behind it, there's a whole lot of truth. God says, behold, I make all things new. And there's that verse in Isaiah which says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, today is a new thing. Tomorrow will be a new thing. And what God wants to do is to see his will springing up in your life each day. So you don't start the new day depressed or anxious, fearful of what the day may hold. Oh no, not another one of those lectures. Or any such attitude as that. We start the day with positive attitude. Today, Lord, I want to live for your glory. And if any X's should appear along the way, I'm going to immediately ask for your forgiveness so that they get eradicated. So by the end of the day, there's no X's. I don't have to get on my knees for several minutes and repent of what I did today, because I've walked with you through the day. Close enough to you that if anything was not your will, it immediately gets dealt with. And of course, part of that is what we do in relation to others. You see, if you end up the day like this, no X's, that means there was no judgment, no criticism, no betraying confidences, no lack of loving, serving, and encouraging those around you. You were doing all that stuff. Hello? It's not just what you do in relation to God, but what you do in relation to others. Is that okay? Now, we are called upon to love one another with the same love that he has for us. And we were talking the other day about this, weren't we, and the nature of God's love, agape, and that we are each agapetos, his beloved. And the way to understand the different nature of God's love is that it is not a love of attraction. You see, every other kind of love that people have is forming relationships through attraction. People may be attracted to one another physically. You like the appearance of someone, and if they're particularly your kind, you might even want to fall in love with them, but there is that visual attraction, a physical attraction. You like the way that person looks. There is emotional attraction. People seeking their soulmates, as they're often called. Or because you get on so well with that particular person or those particular people, you are attracted to them. And you may therefore have feelings of affection or love for them. There is even a kind of intellectual attraction. People with similar intellects or similar way of looking at things are drawn to one another. So, but each one of those kinds of love is the result of attraction. Now, it says in Isaiah, in that great prophecy of the cross, in Isaiah 53, that there was nothing in his appearance to attract us, that we should desire him. Of course, was referring specifically, particularly, to how Jesus would have appeared on the cross. But we have absolutely no idea, none whatsoever from Scripture, about how Jesus appeared. We haven't got any idea whether he was tall or short, whether he had a beard or he didn't have a beard. Well, he must have had a beard because they pulled his beard out, according to one of the Scriptures. But we know absolutely nothing about his appearance. And that, I'm sure, is God's purpose, because he wants us to understand that agape love, God's love, has got nothing to do with attraction. That even when Jesus was at his least attractive, hanging on the cross, he was actually doing the greatest work of love for us that it was possible for him to do. So what he wants us to understand is that if we love one another as he has loved us, that's got nothing to do with attraction. As Jesus said, if we only love those who love us, what good is there in that? Even the pagans do that. So we are called to love those who perhaps are not attractive to us at all, either physically, emotionally, or intellectually. We are called upon to love whoever God puts beside us, in front of us, with us, to love. We can't just have a sort of series of encounters or series of relationships and say, well, no, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. Ah, yes, that one, our love. Because you see, that's love by attraction. Hello? It's not loving one another as he has loved us. He was not attractive in his greatest work of love, and he chose you before the creation of the world so that you would always know that he was not attracted by you. It can't have been your appearance. He didn't love you because of your physical appearance, because he wanted some emotional relationship with you, or because he thought you were his intellectual peer. He loved you because he is love. And he chose you because he wanted to put his love into your heart so that each day is filled with his love. And that you're not going through the day saying, not that one, not that one, no, not that one, Lord. Hello? But you will love whoever he gives you to love. Therefore, you would do whatever he asks you to do. Because every time you say, not that one, that happens. Hello? And then you're going to need to say, oh, Lord, forgive me, I could have, whatever. I could have encouraged that one, I could have helped that one, could have served that one, could have just spoken to that one, could have welcomed that one, could have smiled at that one. Mm-hmm. Smiles can do a lot. Smile means acceptance. A frown means I wish you weren't here. So, just smile at everyone you see. Oh, people can get saved through smiles. When I was first ordained, I went to this to be curate, to be assistant pastor. This church had a big congregation. Not that knew the Lord, but it had a big congregation, because in those days, you know, lots of people went to church. And but of course, being new on the block, I didn't know anybody. And there I was in my bright new dog collar and all the rest of it. And I'd only been there a couple of weeks. And as, you know, you at the end of the service, you're there at the back of the church just sort of greeting people and shaking hands and doing all the things that one used to do in those days. And this woman sort of more or less accosted me and said, you walked straight past me and you didn't even acknowledge me. And of course, I didn't know her from a bar of soap. I mean, I didn't know anybody. There were about 400 people in the church, and I didn't know any of them. I didn't know she was a member of the church. So I decided the safest thing is to smile at everyone. So I'd walk along. You can get away with it with a dog collar, you see. People don't think, the young ladies don't think you're trying to come on or anything. So you... I just smiled at everyone. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, another woman stopped me as she was leaving the church and said, do you know why I've come to this church? I've never come before. So I said, no. She said, well, when you walked past me the other day, you smiled so nicely at me. And I thought, oh, well, that's good. Smiles can be evangelistic. But isn't it better to smile than not to smile? You understand? It was just a little lesson I learned. So, we want to fill the page with good things. And we want to accept the opportunities. There's a scripture where God says, use every opportunity to the full. And you see, today will be full of opportunities. They may not be evangelistic opportunities, like they were yesterday, I assume, but there's always opportunities to love. There's always opportunities to bless. There's always opportunities to serve. Right, now, if you can just turn this around. Somebody could give me a hand there. This is drawn very quickly. It's not... Now, this is another illustration that the Lord gave me back... Well, first back in the Luton days, to say that this is not a bullseye, this is not a target. But any church is like a series of concentric circles. Now, at the heart here, if we had another colour, we could have another colour, but we haven't got another colour, so we'll have to do with black. I wonder how long it'll take before some colours appear. There is Jesus right at the heart. Now, these circles each represent the nature or quality of relationship that the believer has. Outside the circle, there is the darkness of the world. So there are all kinds of differing relationships or qualities of relationship or closeness, if you like, to Jesus. There are those who are here right on the very edge who probably have still got one foot in the darkness and are not yet saved, but they're sort of there in the ambit of the church, in the, if you like, in the experience. They're there. And of course, we want them to come out of the darkness into the light. You can have some people that have been here in the darkness who, right at the beginning, come there somewhere. They sort of leapfrog many people that have been in the church, perhaps for years, because of, oh, look. Behold, I make all things new. Wonderful, thank you. Now, we can have Jesus in red. They have leapfrogged these people because of the depth of the repentance in their lives, by which I don't just mean their forgiveness, but the depth of their surrender to the Lord, because repentance involves surrender to God. So there can be someone who is right outside the kingdom, comes right into a place of real surrender to Jesus. I've told you before that what was actually happening in that church in Luton is people that they were all here on the outside. They were there, part of the church, but they weren't born again, didn't really know the Lord. But as they were led to the Lord, it was with such a level of repentance that they were coming right here somewhere and living as real disciples, which is why God could take the church on so fast. They weren't sort of here where, they're born again, and yes, they're filled with the Spirit here, but there's all kinds of other things going on in their lives which are counterproductive to the will and the purpose of God. Are you breathing? So, God's purpose is to be drawing everybody closer and closer to Him, to the center. What God wants is really for people to be living in this circle, which I call the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary around the presence of Jesus. Not just visiting that occasionally in worship, but living there. Now, you could say that that's revival. That's the aim that God has for us. This will be, if you like, the fruit of Reformation, that more and more people will live in that kind of relationship with God. Now, the strange thing is this, when you look at that circle. Many churches are mistaken in thinking that if you are like the world, you will be able to have an impact on the world, which of course is nonsense, because why should the world be impacted by you if you're just another worldly person? The reality is that the closer you live here, the more impact you will have on the world. So what God wants is churches or trees in this orchard of his where the majority of people, even if they're not living in that circle, they're living in these inner circles. So the relationship with God is going to be absolutely crucial and essential to what impact they make on the darkness of the world. Because the closer you are to the one who is light, the more light there will be in your life. And the more light that there is in your life, the more you contribute to the corporate light of the body to which you belong. And the more there is of that corporate light, the more impact it will have on the darkness of the world. Are we all breathing? So, what we want, if we won't bother to turn the board around, but if we got back to our page, is not just to get through the day without any X's, without any things that we're going to regret or things that we have to repent of, because we're not living for ourselves, are we? We're not just survivors that want to get through another day with Jesus. We are part of his mission. And the whole mission, the whole intent of this as a representation of a local body of Christ, the whole purpose of that is to impact the world with the gospel of the kingdom, therefore with the life, the love, and the power of the kingdom of God. So what God wants to have written on your page is that you are doing really things at two levels. You are doing spiritually that which is going to build you up spiritually, that which is going to enable you to live in one of these inner rings and actually to be making progress. I trust that all of you, since you came to Rafi as students a few months ago, you have moved several rings. I mean, there's only, three or six or seven rings there, but there are infinitely more numbers of rings than that. But you have been making progress, getting closer and closer to the center. Now, of course, that whole process is dependent upon how much you want to be at the center. You know, who will devote himself to be close to the Lord? Close to me, says the Lord. See? Are you ready to devote yourself to him to such an extent that you're not living out here somewhere, but you're living in one of those inner circles? And how great is your desire to move on with God into a closer and deeper relationship so that you are moving from one circle to another circle and then to another circle and then to another circle. So there's constant progress being made in your life. Obviously, you don't jump from circle to circle day by day. This is talking about the nature of your relationship. But sometimes there can be events. God zaps us in some way. He gets hold of you suddenly, and you find that you're suddenly in another circle. And of course, the art is to stay in that circle and then to want to move on to another circle. Now, of course, what can happen? Well, we've got three colors now. I'll have to use the red one, with apologies to Jesus. What can happen is that somebody living here can go into reverse. Huh? He gets into a place of disobedience, right? And that damages his relationship and his closeness to the Lord. Now, praise God, he doesn't throw him out. There may be some who choose even to backslide. But there's always the way back. But of course, when you come back, if you backslid, and when you've come back, you don't go back to the place where you were when you started to backslide. You work your way back through the circles. Hello? If you get into some area of disobedience or resistance to the Lord or whatever it may be, then you may lose ground. That may be a temporary thing. If it's more serious, it may take you a little bit more time to recover and to get back to the place where you were. Sometimes this process of really moving into an air of disobedience has such a profound effect upon people that when they come back into a closer circle. And they give themselves more wholeheartedly to the Lord than ever before because they appreciate that they only lost ground because of the lack of commitment to him. Are we getting this? Now, of course, the sensible thing, the wise thing, is not to do any of these red arrows, not to backtrack in any way, but to live consistently, faithfully, where we are now, desiring to get ever closer to Jesus. Now, here we're talking in experience, experientially, aren't we? Because we are in him and he is in us. So we are, in one sense, always close to him and he is always close to us. But what we're actually talking about here is our walk with the Lord. And you see, this is where we have to appreciate that your relationship with Jesus is not a static thing. Your relationship is a walk. Hello? The analogy isn't all that close, but if you go for a walk with people, the way you go for a walk with them will depend upon your relationship with them. I mean, if it's your beloved, you might walk arm in arm and stop and have a kiss every now and again, and you wouldn't do that as a roughy student, but you know, you see other people doing it, and but that speaks of the closeness of the relationship. There are other people that, you know, just friends or other people that you hardly know. Well, the nature of the walk and what you do and say on the walk will depend upon the relationship. But this is even more the case with Jesus. How I walk with him today depends upon my relationship with him today. See? And how you walk with him today depends upon your relationship. I can't say that I have a close relationship with the Lord unless I walk close to him today. Are you with me? Now, the great thing is that that walk has got nothing to do with attraction. Therefore, it's got nothing to do physically, obviously, but it's got nothing to do with emotions, got nothing to do with how I feel, whether I feel close to the Lord or not. It's got actually nothing to do with intellect and reason and my thinking processes. It's all got to do with this agape love. Am I walking at one with him in his love, as his agapetos, as his beloved, so that his love can pour out of my life to those with whom I have anything to do? And the same, of course, is true for you. So, you see, our times here at the 8 o'clock are absolutely vital to what happens in our relationship with God, in our walk with God, and therefore in the fruit that will be produced in our lives. Because the fruit comes out of your walk. See? Your walk is what you say and what you do because you are living at one with him. So that's what produces the fruit. It's not just saying, oh, I love Jesus and I have such a close, loving relationship with Jesus. Okay, if that's true, then that is going to be evidenced in what I say and what I do. And it's what I say and do that will produce the fruit. So if we come here, let's just turn this back again, can we? So if we just sort of round this off, this means, I mean, it's a very simple message, isn't it? If I can understand it, you should be able to understand it. What we write in this page is the outworking of that relationship, is what we do and say because we're one with him. This, if you like, is the document of God's love in your life today. Faith working through love. And some days you may feel that you've scored better than other days, but actually you're not really the judge of that. God alone is, because just as you sought to see the outworking of that love, all kinds of other people might have been impacted without you even knowing. You are not the one who can assess how fruitful you've been, even during the course of a day. You may be aware of some things. Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Lord, for using me in that situation. You may be aware sometimes that of failure. Oh, God, I really messed that up, didn't I? I really missed an opportunity there. Forgive me. And he does. You don't take that over into tomorrow, because anything that is forgiven doesn't exist anymore. So you can't take any guilt from today over to tomorrow if you're forgiven. So we've seen before, haven't we, that we begin each day at one with him. We begin each day in his holiness. We actually begin each day in his perfection. So our starting point is excellent. Yes. We start at the highest possible place. And what God wants is for us to live today and then to live tomorrow according to that position. Remember what we were talking about, position and performance, the other day? So he wants our performance to match our position as far as that is possible. So out of all this, we can see that coming in here and just sort of standing in the presence of the Lord is much more than that. You see, it's this longing and this desire to be close to him, not just in a meeting, but in our walk with him, in our relationship with him, because that's what's going to determine how much he is able to use us, how much of his light will actually shine. You know, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. And those good works, you see, are the fruit of your walk, not just of the relationship that you claim. But the men may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So what an amazing God, really. Because, you know, he is love, he is perfect love. And to me, the thing that God sort of spoke to my heart as a result of this is I realized in a fresh way how remarkable God is, that every day, every single day, 365 days a year and 366 in a leap year, every single day is a new gift from God. That we start every single day afresh in relationship with him. And the history, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, matters not a jot. All that matters is what goes on between you and God today, and therefore how effective you will be in your walk with him today. And even when you feel that you've messed up, or you've missed it, or you haven't used the opportunities, at the end of the day you can go to sleep, and the next day you wake up with a new document ready for you to write another page of your history. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's just start by thanking the Lord for today. A gift from God. Start a new document today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that all the failures of the past are history and bear no relationship to today. They're not part of today. They no longer exist. And thank him also that you can't trade today on past successes. The past successes, praise God that he enabled those, but today is a new day, and you can't just say, well, God used me yesterday, so I'll rest today. No. This is a new day, hallelujah. Your relationship with the Lord, your walk with the Lord is going to determine what you write on that page today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kurata paria leto bakala sita di santo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Pura la basa de paria letu bacala sita di santo. Purata paria leto pakala sidri santo pakatoria leto pakala sindama. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Purata paria leto pakala sidri santuma. Paparaza paria leto pakala sidri santo pakatoria leto pakala sidri santuma. O papara zadabaria leto pakala sitri santo pakatoria leto pakala sitri santo. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now thank him for the circle that you're standing in by his grace at present. Now it's up to you what you pray after that, but I want to pray to get into a closer circle. I want to stand on the innermost circle. I want to live in the Holy of Holies. I don't want to just visit it for a few minutes in a meeting. I want to live there because that's God's best purpose for my life. Koratabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Paparaza dabaria leto pakala sita di santuma. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Puratabaria leto pakala sita di santu pakatoria leto pakala sita ba. Oh, paparaza dabaria leto pakala sita di santu. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Purala pasuto di sata pakala sata pakala sita di santu. O pasatabaria leto pakala sita di santo pakatoria leto pakala sidama. O papara satabaria leto pakala sita di sandama. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now just know that he's drawing you ever closer. He's like a great spiritual magnet at the heart of those concentric circles, drawing you closer, wanting you closer. Wanting you to move from one circle to another. A greater love, a greater devotion for him, which will affect your walk with him. So just thank him for that. That's his love. That's the only way in which his love attracts, by drawing you. It's not a physical attraction, emotional attraction, an intellectual attraction. It's just his loving desire for you as his child. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Kura taparia leto bakala sita di santo. Popara zarabaria leto bakala sita di santo bakatoria leto bakala sinuma. O papara zarabaria leto bakala sita di sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Pura taparia leto bakala sita di santo bakatoria leto bakala sita di sanduma. Yes, 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 yes. Pura tabaria leto bakala sita di sandama. Bopa pakala sita di sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Lord. And just thank him for the gift of sleep, for the closing of one day and the opening of another. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Pura taparia leto pakala sitri sanduma. Yes, 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 yes. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Pura taparia leto pakala sidama. Behold, I make all things new. Yes, 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 yes. Can you not see that I do a new thing among you? It's springing forth. Every day a new thing, every day a new day. Hallelujah. Puratabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Puparasadabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Puparasadabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Puratabaria leto bakala sita di santo bakatoria leto bakala sinama. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Jesus. Pura tabaria leto pakala sita di santo pakataria leto pakala sinama. O papara sadabaria leto pakala sita di santo. Popara sadabaria leto pakala sita di santoma. Popara sadabaria leto pakala sita di santoma. O papara sadabaria leto pakala sita di santo. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Poparaza da paria leto pacala sita di santo. Poparaza da paria leto pacala sita di santo. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Poparaza da paria leto pacala sita di santo. Poparaza da paria leto pacala sita di santo. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Pura taparia leto pakala sita di santo. Yes, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus. Oh, my God, oh, my Savior, oh, my Lord. Pura taparia leto pakala sita di santo. Oh, papara zadabaria leto pakala sita di santo. Oh, papara zadabaria leto pakala sita di santo. Posadabaria letter bacala sita di santo bacataria letter bacala sita. O papara zadabaria letuba. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura tabaria letuba. Yes, 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 yes. Pura la basadabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Wonderful Lord. Papara zadabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Oh, paparia leto bakala sita di santo. Oh, pasadabaria leto bakala sita di santo bakataria leno mazundama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God. Come on. Oh, ratapariya leto bakala sidaba. Come on, let's give him our best. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are so good. Your mercy is so great. Hallelujah. Pura la basadabariya leto bakala sidari sandama. Popara zadabariya leto bakala sidari sandama. Now, Lord, I want to write on my page today what you want to see written there. Not what I choose to write for myself, but I want what you have planned for today to be fully realized. So I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit, for the enabling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to come to the end of this day knowing that I have pleased you by the way I have walked with you, related to you, served you, and therefore served your people in whatever way will glorify you. That today will be a fruitful day, Lord. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit that will last. Fruit that will glorify you. And thank you, Lord, that every day is a fresh opportunity. I just give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, you pray that over your own life. Oh, rasa taparia leto bakala sita di santo. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Praise your holy name. Thank your holy name. I bless your holy name. Pura tabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Pura tabaria leto bakala sita di santo. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Let's just be still for a moment and just listen to him. Just believe the Lord's saying, if you're not doing what I want, then you're doing something that I don't want. Thank you, Lord, that we have the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy today. Thank you that as we submit ourselves to you today, we can resist the enemy and he will flee from us. Thank you that he is not going to invade any of our pages today. Hallelujah. Thank you that we can keep ourselves free from his activity every day because you have given us the authority over all the works of the evil one. And we bless you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers. That when problems arise, we will overcome through your mercy and grace, through the power of your Spirit enabling us, so that we will be led every day in your triumphant procession. And we give you glory for that, Lord. We thank you that you write victory at the top of every page for us. And you say, live in my victory today. Live in the victory of the cross. Live in the victory of my word. Live in the victory of my spirit. Hallelujah. Be the overcomer I have made you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Oh, and thank you, Lord, that you say in your word, love never fails. So thank you, Lord, that as we walk in love today, that love will never fail. Your love will never fail us, and our love will not fail for others. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Come on, let's have a good shout of praise for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.